I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away.
What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It seems that our severe thunderstorm warning has finally passed for a number of counties. Up until about 15, 20 minutes ago, severe thunderstorm warnings in Jefferson, Columbia, Dane, and Dodge counties. I hope you all are safe out there. It has been a bit of an extreme weather week. Not sure if we're coming out of that quite yet. But speaking of extreme events, of course, I have to start with some Brewers facts. Listen to the entire game last night. It was a bit of a heartbreaker, but I have to say one of the most exciting things one can ever hear or see in live baseball is someone stealing home base. I can honestly say I do not believe I had ever heard or seen that live myself, and I heard it last night. Christian Yelich stealing home base to make it 2-0 Brewers, eventually dropping to the Miami Marlins by 3-2 in extra innings. But boy, that was exciting. Christian still got some get up and go. Good to see. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, luckily he didn't break himself in his legs.
Well, anytime I see, you know, one of your lineup stars doing something like that, it's a little cringy. Luckily, this time I didn't have to see it. It was just hearing the radio announcer, "Oh my gosh, Yelich is trying to steal home." It happened so quickly that I didn't have the moment of cringe. But yeah, that is always an issue when you're watching one of your stars take on a little extra oomph on the field. Yesterday, I got done with the show and I was talking with Brian. And if you want to give us a call this afternoon, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Say hello to Brian when he picks up your call. I just don't feel like I gave Harrison Butker all he truly deserved on the Maggie Dawn Show. So we're going to start there. Now, if you've been living under an Alaskan-sized boulder since the weekend, here's the backstory. Harrison Butker, a fairly newly outspoken kicker for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, he gave the commencement address at a very conservative Catholic college this past weekend. And he had a lot on his mind, I guess, would be one way to put it. Now, your typical commencement address, even at more conservative universities, will certainly talk about, students being called to serve God or whatever it is. That's sort of standard fare. This guy literally did not leave a single box unchecked on the Christian Catholic far right hit list. Every single box that you can possibly think of, he checked. Now, Brian was kind enough to pull much of those box checking sounds for us all. I also then grouped his speech into the categories of said boxes. Now, I want to paint a picture here. This guy's won a Super Bowl. He has a stay-at-home wife. Wonderful. Good for him. Her name's Isabella. And he makes $4+ million a year as a kicker in the NFL.
That's awesome. Good for him.
Right. Good for you. Now, I think sometimes one of the pitfalls that we run into when we're talking about or making judgments about other people is that we don't often, or at least I would respectfully offer, that sometimes we don't recognize our own privilege or the position of power or wealth or autonomy that we speak from. And to me, as I went through and I reviewed some of the sound of Mr. Butker speaking and his comments today, what struck me most was the incredible audacity with which he judges others, not just women, not just the LGBTQIA community, not just people that live together before marriage, not just priests and bishops that he doesn't think are cutting the mustard in the Catholic Church. He literally is judging everyone. And the end line of this speech is truly, truly shocking, because what he says is this. So I'm going to begin at the very end of his speech. He says this: "You are entering into mission territory in a post-God world. but you were made for this. And with God by your side and a constant striving for virtue within your vocation, you too can be a saint. Who's the two? Are you talking about yourself, Mr. Butker? And I'm going to make the case during this show that in fact he does see himself in downright saintly, above reproach terms. I think, Brian, you've got some of the sound. It's cut 11 of Mr. Butker. I don't know if the very last piece of this is in there, but let's take a listen, everybody.
Make no mistake, you are entering into mission territory in a post-God world, but you were made for this, and with God by your side and a constant striving for virtue within your vocation, you too can be a saint. Christ is King to the heights.
Now, a very, very generous reading or interpretation of what he's saying is he's referring to maybe Jesus Christ as a saint. But that would be theologically slightly inaccurate because Jesus Christ would be the Son of God and hence no saintly anointment is required. So who is the two? You too can be a saint. Who do you think, Brian? You think he's talking about himself?
Whether he's referring to himself or, let's say, his wife or literally anybody else, the point is that I kept on going through this entire speech was the biggest and most arrogant thing you can do is, I don't know, presume the will of God.
Yes.
This person presumes the will of God to such an nth degree that leaves no room for anybody to interpret anything differently.
Well, could not agree with you more, Brian. I mean, what I kept writing down in the margins of this transcript of his speech was according to whom, right? Who gets to decide these things? You, Mr. Butker? I mean, if there was one thing that I took away from my catechism classes or from, you know, the nearly 20 years I spent in Catholic schools and in Catholic Mass was the humility of Christ. Right, that there was this overwhelming sense of love and forgiveness and the withholding of judgment of others, that was this true message of Christ.
That seemed to be the point. They asked him point blank, are you the Son of God? And he said, if you say I am. That's
right
there in the text, man.
You know, textualism and all that. But we're going to go through this speech because I just... This to me is part of the point. And of course, some of the context here is that when Colin Kaepernick years ago took a knee in protest for what his lived experience was, he was to be fired, right? His contract was not to be renewed. I objected to that. I don't think Harrison Butker should get fired because we live in a First Amendment-based free speech society. Of course not. But the hypocrisy of the NFL, and frankly of the right, is shocking to me. And the difference between what Mr. Kaepernick did and what Mr. Butker did is massive. Mr. Butker's speech is telling everyone else how to live. Mr. Kaepernick's protest was giving voice to his lived experience as a Black person in America. It was trying to raise awareness. To me, there can be no greater difference between what those expressions of their First Amendment rights could be. One, sitting in judgment, telling people how they need to be in order to be righteous or to be saintly. The other asking for acknowledgement of a very real difference of how people are treated in this country. Ridiculous. Now, I think it would only be appropriate to start digging into Mr. Butker's comments with the COVID nonsense. So let's take a listen. This is going to be cut 12. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up.
We cannot buy into the lie that the things we experienced during COVID were appropriate. Over the centuries, there have been great wars, great famines, and yes, even great diseases, all that came with a level of lethality and danger. But in each of those examples, church leaders leaned into their vocations and ensured that their people received the sacraments.
Can I add a little church thing during the plague,
please?
Let's say? They had cat hunters that were out killing cats who would have killed all the plague rats because they were deemed evil. That's what the church did during a plague, just back in the day, just letting you guys know.
So again, a little refresher. The church always has not been on the cutting edge of medical technology and science, you know.
That's a shocker.
But this idea, you mean he's suggesting that to care for your flock as a priest or a bishop necessarily requires putting their lives at risk. That's what he's saying. That there's no morally acceptable, under Catholic doctrine, no morally acceptable gray area or different way of approaching that. Maybe, you know, trying to provide virtual mass, have people drop off the Eucharist, those kinds of things. That's not enough, according to whom? Oh, yes. Father Harrison Butker. And the irony of all of that is he actually, halfway through the speech, calls out people who are laypersons playing at being theologians, which is what he's doing in his entire freaking speech.
Methinks the kicker protests too much.
Yes, methinks the kicker thinketh. It's so bizarre. Again, the breadth and scope of his moral judgment, of his prescriptiveness, especially to women, about what their place in society should be, which is as a homemaker, is unequivocal and just frightening. Again, and its breadth and its certitude. Again, if you're going to ask what would Jesus do, I don't think it's what Harrison Butker's saying. Your comments are welcome. Phone lines are open. So is the text line. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back in just a moment.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Welcome back, everybody. Like a dog with a bone, I just could not let this one go. It bothered me so much. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the speech, the commencement address given by Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champion, kicker extraordinaire, with a $20.275 million contract for 5 years, Harrison Butker, his commencement address at a conservative Catholic college over this past weekend. Andrew texting in from the 630. What struck Andrew most was the audience, the lengthy and loud clapping, the fact that there's no boos, nobody walked out. It's what they wanted to hear. Yeah, and we certainly heard that in that first clip at the end. They just keep applauding. What shocked me most, Andrew, and we'll get to the sound, was after his line about women being homemakers, they applauded for 18 seconds, which is an eternity in speech time. I mean, that it just goes on and on. And of course, Andrew pointing out that the difference between the reactions to Mr. Butker's statements and Mr. Kaepernick's is that Mr. Kaepernick's black and Butker's white, and he's speaking to the sort of MAGA Christian nationalist right-wing extremist faction that we now find so prevalent and pervasive. And here's what I think. I mean, very interested to hear what you all say. We've got some callers. I'm going to get there. 855-75-CIVIC, if you would like to join our conversation, 855-752-4842. I don't think that Mr. Butker or the far-right Christian nationalist movement actually represents what the majority of God-fearing, church-attending Christian or Catholic people think in this country. I think it's a very small minority, but they're getting a lot of airtime. A big microphone has been placed in front of those people who want to proselytize in this way.
Plus, people like to go and hear a bunch of controversial stuff.
Certainly, there's an element of that. I mean, we enjoy, as a culture, controversy. We enjoy watching scandals play out. It's just baked into our cake, if you will. Again, one of the things that I think is really challenging about what Mr. Butker was saying is that, of course, he's telling people how to live, and he's the one that gets to decide. He criticizes priests.
To hear him say it, he would say that the Bible and Jesus is telling him what it is, and that's what it is to decide. That's what's been decided. He's just telling you what it is.
Of course, which is what every false prophet has always said, right? Like, I am the next coming, and why? Because God is speaking to me, right? I mean, what I'd like to know is, how do you verify that? And maybe that's just my agnosticism speaking through, but I don't think Mr. Butker has a bat phone to God. I just don't. And so we're supposed to just credit what he says. There's no inherent rationality or reason that Mr. Butker's construction of Catholicism or Christianity is any more right than anybody else's. And oh, wait a minute. That's what it means to live in a secular democracy, for crying out loud. Last I checked, who would have thunk? Let's go to the phones. Mark from Waukesha, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey, I just turned on your show. I'm in the car, and I'm kind of taken back by your view on all this. You're talking about how he's judging other people as you sit there and judge him. So if you're talking about hypocrisy, you are in it too. He didn't tell women that they cannot work and they shouldn't. He's saying that there is another alternative way to live, that the mainstream media is saying women need to get these career-driven things. Why can't they be homemakers? What is second class to them being homemakers? I guess that's my question.
I really appreciate it, Mark. Thanks so much for calling. What I'm trying to point out, and sure, I think there's a way to view what I'm saying as a judgment of Mr. Butker. But what I'm trying to point out is that we shouldn't be in the business of making moral judgments about one another based on people's difference or different opinions about their religious beliefs. When you live in a secular society, we let people live, live and let live. The problem with what Mr. Butker is saying is that he lays out a very specific set of ways of being that he is saying are better than all of the rest. And when you do that, and when the appeal or the case that you're pitching is a call to the most very traditional gender roles, which call women to not enter the workplace and stay in the home, and that is better, somehow preferable, what it is underlying is a long-standing, centuries-old, frankly, value difference in both men and women, that women that choose not to be homemakers are actually to be criticized because they're not following the teachings of God. Does that make sense to you, Mark? Or do you still see it as internally, like, hypocritical for me to point this out? It's the appeal to the traditionalism of it, which has always been the case. The patriarchy has, men have always had more rights and privileges and wealth, and that women belong in the home, and any woman that chooses differently is problematic. That's what's concerning me.
And this might be a generational gap here, but I did not take the speech that way at all. From what our generation has been told is that both men and women need to go out and be CEOs of companies. All he is saying, and this is my perspective, is saying that, and this goes for men too, you don't need to be the CEO of a company. There are other roles where you can be, you can contribute to your family, you can contribute to society without being a career-driven person. And everybody has a different circumstance that they're in. Doesn't necessarily mean that one is good or one is bad. He's taking his view, and they even interviewed the daughter of the Kansas City Chiefs, and she reiterated exactly what he said. They're in a completely different economic status than I am. They're in a completely different, I guess, lifestyle than I am. I still understand their point.
So, Mark, I actually think you and I are much closer to agreement and much, much closer in values. And I think there's a far greater distance between what you and I think are saying somewhat differently and what Mr. Butker's actual words were. If I can, let me just repeat some of them to you. I want to speak directly to the women because I think it is you who have the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now thinking about all the promotions and titles? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. He goes on and basically says that the most important thing that you can do is embrace the most important title of all, homemaker. I'm going to continue my discussion with Mark when we come back after the farm update break. But I want to dig in here because, again, I think Mark and I are much closer that people should have the freedom to choose and that that is what matters and that we can have places for women that want to stay home as well as women in the workplace. Let's dig into more of what Harrison Butker had to say after your farm update. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Mark, hang on. I want to continue our conversation after these brief messages.
I am the chosen one.
Hey, Wisconsin. Did you hear a rumor that we were talking about Harrison Butker? I sure did. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about a fairly controversial commencement address given this past weekend at a conservative Catholic college by the kicker for the Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs. We're having a really thoughtful discussion. You want to join us? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I've been talking with Mark from Waukesha. He pointed out, and Mark said, I'm going to paraphrase here, hey, Maggie, first of all, you sound like you're judging Mr. Butker. So are you judging the judger? And is that not a little hypocritical? And I'd like to just say, by disagreeing, is that necessarily judgment? By trying to point out some tensions, some internal inconsistencies in what someone's saying, necessarily judgment? Perhaps it is, and to that extent, maybe I am guilty of a little hypocrisy. That said, what is it that we're talking about? And to me, the most problematic piece of or takeaway from Mr. Butker's speech was the overall idea that he's going to tell people the right way to live, and that certain ways are better than other ways. And when it comes to gender roles, what I found most troubling was not the idea that being a homemaker or a stay-at-home mom is really important and maybe more important to some folks and in some families than being out or being a CEO or whatever it is. I'll take that point for granted. It's the idea of using inflammatory language to describe people who disagree or choose to work, women who choose to work out of the home. That's thing one. And thing two is that when you compare how he spoke, Mr. Butker spoke about the role of women, and you compare that to how he speaks about the role of men, it is a reversion to the place where women's place was only in the kitchen and the bedroom. It's a reversion to these ultra gender-specific, kind of misogynistic times gone past. We've got a texter from 414 saying this: I agree with Mr. Butker that being a homemaker can be and sometimes even is more important than being the CEO of a corporation. However, to tell people during a commencement address that they have been lied to and to imply that they won't get the promotions and earn the income that they're hoping for is basically telling them that because of their gender, they have wasted the last 4 to 5 years of their life earning a degree and trying to make their lives better and themselves smarter. sitting in that audience, I would have personally felt like this person was spitting in my face. Everyone gets to believe what they want, but this was neither the time nor place to say, congratulations, you made a huge mistake. That's John in Menominee Falls. Thanks so much, John. Please keep listening. Please keep texting. I'm going to ask Mark to join me again and just share a little bit with you, Mark, of how Mr. Butker finished up what he said about men, and then we'll listen to some of the sound. He finished what he was saying about men by saying this. To the gentleman here today, be unapologetic in your masculinity. Fight against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. And to me, you know, you stack up those comments with what he said about women, and it seems to paint a pretty retrograde, like 1950s, Leave It to Beaver sort of view of the world, doesn't it? Mark, you there?
I do not believe so, no. That's not how I took it. I could see how it could be interpreted that way, but that's not how I took it.
And why, when you're saying to men, go do hard things, and women, you should be a homemaker, isn't that a call to go back to Leave It to Beaver?
No, first, can I ask you a question about the gender roles that you touched on? Do you believe that there should be absolutely no gender roles whatsoever? The jobs that men do, the jobs that women do, that should be interchangeable.
I think that if someone is capable and can do a great job at a job, it shouldn't matter what gender they are. If they do excellently at them, pay them more, promote them. I don't think it should matter what gender you are. I'm sick of women making, you know, 85 cents to a dollar earned by men for the exact same work. So I think we got a problem with gender in this country. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we've got a really bad, we've been pushed a really bad agenda for what gender roles should look like now. And all he's doing is interrupting what the media is saying. And it's coming from,
but what do you think gender roles should be? Do you think there are certain jobs that women should do and certain jobs that men should do and nary the two shall meet?
I do not think that they are exclusive to the gender, but I think our culture has pushed it one way. I work in construction. I rarely see a female. And we have all this push for women in the workforce, women in the workforce. It's not women in the workforce, because if it's women in the workforce, the trades are hurting. Women, if you want to get into the trades, there's jobs. But I don't think...
Well, don't you think... Let me ask you a question. Let me just ask you a quick follow-up question about that. Do you think statements like what Mr. Butker made this weekend makes it easier or harder for women to join the trades or work in a construction crew?
I think it's so minimal that it's not going to change a single thing. I think it's more of a talking point than it's actually going to make a way of doing anything.
Okay, let me ask you a different question. How would you know, because you're a man?
How would I know that I'm a man?
No, how would you know whether or not what Mr. Butker said this weekend makes it easier or relatively more difficult for a woman to enter the trades or to work on a construction crew because you're not a woman?
I don't need to be a woman to understand that no women apply to be in construction. No women.
Well, why do you think that is? Could it be, Mark, because people like Mr. Butker say that a woman's place is in the home? And so what I would consider to be one of the most traditionally male-dominated industries, both the trades and construction, would seem to be a more threatening place if every single man on that crew believes, as Mr. Butker does, that the woman should more properly be at home. Doesn't that make it a more challenging environment for women, all else being equal?
Again, we have to not twist his words. He is not saying, women, you've failed through college. You've been lied to. Your place is in the home. All
he does say you've been lied to. He exactly says you've been lied to. That's exactly the words he uses.
And you can twist it however you'd like to. That's fine, I guess. He's just saying.
Mark, I'm just trying to get to the root of this. That to me, it seems nearly self-evident that adopting a very traditional view of a male role and a women's role would make it, all else being equal, more challenging for women to enter fields traditionally dominated by men. Do you not think that that's accurate? I guess you don't.
I would 100% hire a woman if she applied to be on the crew. It has nothing to do with male and female. I just don't think women want to be in that, which is fine. Again,
but why? But Mark, why do you think women don't want to be in the construction field? Might it be because men treat them hostily or sometimes aggressively or act like they don't have a place there, that their place is in the home? Isn't that possibly no. part of why women you don't apply for those jobs?
You could find a one-off and make that claim, correct?
What if it's not a one-off, Mark? What if your view, and you do have the privilege of being a man, and there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to apologize for being a man. I don't expect you to apologize for patriarchy that's existed. What I do hope that we can do is acknowledge that it might be hard for you to appreciate what women might feel because you haven't had that experience, that there might be these traditional ideas that make it, all else being equal, not a particularly attractive field or industry for women to be in. Don't you think that that may be a very real possibility and not just a one-off?
I think you're speaking more to a one-off because we've had.
But what if you're wrong, Mark? What if we keep saying these things about we should have a traditional view of the world and a more traditional view of gender? What if we are harming women's ability to realize full equality and equity in the workplace? What if we're making it harder for women to say, I want to be in the trades, I want to be on a construction crew?
What if, we're playing the what if game, what if you are making it harder for women to get validated and feel like they are actually contributing in their life by being a homemaker? Because there's women out there that are being told that if they're a homemaker, they're a failure.
Okay, point taken. But I think we have to acknowledge that the historical reality, what has been traditionally true, is that women are valued when they are at home. Yes, you know, since the feminist movement, there have been challenges to that. But the normative, the baseline, the thing that's always existed is women in the home. So by challenging what is traditional and saying, can we believe, can we engage in a society that is different, that doesn't necessitate devaluing it. What I'm saying is that by reverting to the traditional, aren't you afraid that we're actually making it harder for women to take advantage of or to step into these opportunities? I'll take your point that perhaps some people take it too far and perhaps there are criticisms of women that stay home. But on balance, that's the way it's always been, right?
Leave it to Beaver days, yes. But since the whole...
And for all millennia before that, right?
It's getting so diluted. I think it's coming down to, I think the point he is trying to make is just to understand that it's not a failure as a position. That is a career.
I totally agree with you, Mark. And I'm going to end with you there because we got other folks I want to get to. I think, Mark, you and I are much closer than you may suspect. I tend to agree with you more, but what I'm suggesting is that the risk, the danger that exists here is when we say we need to revert back to the way it was. Well, the way it was mostly good for white men with money. That's a danger. Now, that is an oversimplification, and yes, there are complexities here, and that's what we're here on the Maggie Dawn Show to engage in. But respectfully, Mark, you don't know why women aren't choosing to be in the trades and construction because you ain't one.
Could you get a credit card? Could you get a credit card 40 years ago or so?
No. I own a bar in the state of New York without my husband, uncle, or father on my liquor license until 1982 or three? No.
Huh.
Could women vote in 1919? No. I mean, isn't that what we're talking about? Want to call out a couple of our new texters here from the 414. You're wasting your time trying to talk to a man who believes he knows what all men, all women think. Thank you for that. Amy in Madison, also a new texter from from the 608. I choose women for all the jobs I can because my mechanics are women. My electrician is a woman, and I will only choose women doctors and surgeons because we have better health outcomes and fewer deaths caused by women surgeons, etc. Just because Mark from Waukesha doesn't know any women in construction doesn't mean they ain't out there. Also, just want to add that single women and gay women are happier than straight married women. Glad you were talking to them and not me. Thanks, Maggie. Thank you, Amy. Lisa in Madison. Maggie, don't forget when he tried to clean it up. He said women should have more babies than thoughts. We can do both. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Keep the texts coming. If you are on the line, stay there. I'm going to go to you after we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join us? Get in your thoughts. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. And my thanks to Mark and Waukesha. It's better when we do this together, and we got to keep talking.
I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic. They're not that hard to understand.
Proud of me. I do my best every day. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, joined by Brian Kelly in the booth. You want to get in your thoughts and comments for the last segment of this hour before I bring on my very special guest, Rob Henkin of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, 855-752-4842. We're going to go to the phones. I'm going to try to get the rest of the texts in. Here is what Butker said about women. I've seen it firsthand how much happier women can be when they disregard the outside noise and move closer and closer to God's will in their life, which means, like his wife, you may dream of having a career, but that may not come true. You may find your highest calling and become a homemaker, but men should be unapologetic in their masculinity, do hard things, never settle for what is easy. Of course, diversity, equity, and inclusion under the Catholic faith is a tyranny. You know, I think Jesus Christ, at least in my reading of the Bible, was the first advocate for diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. You know, mingle with the sinners, wash the feet of those that are lowest, even hang out with hookers.
Not with contempt for them, like, you guys are jerks and hey, jerks. Also, but just, you know, maybe just admire their humanity and that type of thing. I don't know.
You're right. Also, things like abortion, IVF, and surrogacy, you know, that's just part of the degenerate cultural values. You know, don't move in with your boyfriend or girlfriend before marriage. That's terrible. And we should be proud of our faith, but not like that deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it. In other words, he's bashing the LGBTQIA plus community, which, by the way, pride is one of the seven deadly sins. And I think it includes people who are overly proud about their faith.
But he calls himself Catholic, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the Catholic Church is headed by the Pope, right?
Yeah.
What's the Pope's stance on LGBTQA?
Yeah, funny. It's changed a little bit, hasn't it?
Huh, mm-hmm. I think he's like, that's cool. It's fine. Just let's get people to come into church, please.
Let's come back to church. It's just, you can't misread his speech if you read it in totality. I don't really think it's up for a bunch of debate. Texter from the 262, Butker kicks the football. I'm sure he knows everything, huh? Couldn't agree with you more. So happy to hear Brian Kelly again from the 262. I love his radio voice. Plus, he's so nice. I agree. Love me some fancy, Brian. This guy must really not like the Pope, hey, from the 414. Couldn't agree with you more. Let's go to the phones. Joe from Madison, you're on the Maggie Don Show. What do you have to say?
Hi. Great show. I just want to say that Harrison has some mommy issues. If you do a little research on Harrison's mother, his mother is a medical physicist with an advanced degree from Emory University. And maybe little Harrison missed a few meals, you know, or had to be at a daycare center or didn't get a plate of cookies when he wanted them. And he's paying his mother back. And there is one commandment that I've always followed in the Ten Commandments: honor your mother and your father. And he did not follow that commandment. Honoring your mother would have had at least a few good lines about the amazing job that Elizabeth Butker did on him. So maybe she should have taught him a little bit more feminism, though. Great show. Thanks so much.
Yes, thanks, Joe. Appreciate you listening and calling. Bill from Milwaukee, you're on the Maggie Don Show. What do you have to say, sir?
Hi. I just wanted to say I am a Catholic, and I feel what Butker said is probably was more to do with what he didn't say. What he said, most of it is stuff that, you know, can be a pretty standard, you know, view of of Catholicism. But I noticed, unless I was misinformed, I don't believe he said a word about racism. I don't think he said a word about the environment. And I know that, for example, that is something that Pope Francis has made clear is a very yes. serious matter to be dealt with. I mean, there's more, there's certainly more to the faith than just, whatever the current culture war issues are.
Bill, like such absolutely an incredibly adept point. Thanks so much for calling and listening. Yeah, if you look at the last papal encyclical, which is the fancy Catholic terms for the Pope says what's most important within the Catholic Church. The environment is a critical pillar of that. So is our Catholic objective, if you happen to be Catholic, to look after those in our communities that are most vulnerable. I don't know of a more vulnerable group in our community than a trans Black person. Those folks are at greatest risk. Again, I just think, and Bill put it so beautifully, Mr. Butker is engaging in a culture war and dressing it up as Catholicism. And that is not, I don't think that was Christ's message. And I don't think it's actually what the Pope today, Pope Francis, is saying. I just want to point out this little tidbit from Mr. Butker's speech. He said this: it is not prudent as the laity for us to consume ourselves in becoming amateur theologians so that we can decipher this or that theological teaching. Unless, of course, you are a theology major. Mr. Butker majored in industrial engineering at Georgia Tech, just as a point of fact. Karina from Milwaukee, you're on the Maggie Don Show.
Hello, Maggie. You know what? The audacity and undermining the fact that he's saying, oh, you poor lambs, you stupid sheep, you spend the $40,000 to educate yourself for no good reason. The best way for you to do it is just to produce baby and be quiet. This is what you can and should do.
That's exactly what he's saying, Karina. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. I mean, hey, Harrison, why don't you cut a check refunding the tuition for all those women who went to that college whose commencement address you just gave? I mean, come on, man. Liz from Saukville saying this: if Mr. Butker and the like really believe women are better off being a homemaker, why not tell their moms and dads not to send their daughters to college and save a bunch of money? Kind of my exact point right there. I loved my college experience at UW-Madison and treasure it. So did I in law school. Go Badgers. Jim from Appleton. Not sure where John is sampling his construction crews. Up here in Fox Valley, there's lots of women on the crews, varying from 10 to 50%. Thanks so much, everybody. I think we had a really great discussion this afternoon. I appreciate you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're not going to want to go anywhere. News, weather, and sports up next. Then we got Rob Henken.
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.